and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower, and we use words and sentences especially written for people learning English. In the United States, today is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Now, here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Susan Shand will tell us about plans for a Chinese university to be built in Hungary. Jonathan Evans will bring us a story from Costa Rica. John Russell will tell us about a new feature being added to a very old structure in Italy. On this week's Words in Their Stories, I will celebrate Mother's Day with a special show all about mothers. We will finish the program today with our National Parks series. But first, the education report.
Budapest, Hungary is one of the loveliest old cities of Europe. Millions of people visit the Hungarian capital each year. Most explore the old town area, where they can see many beautiful buildings that are many hundreds of years old. South of that area and across the Danube River, there is another part of Budapest that few people would want to see. Empty buildings in disrepair fill this disorderly area. It was abandoned 30 years ago when the Soviet Union came to an end. But now Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán wants to build a new large university, headquartered in Shanghai, China. This week, Hungary signed an agreement to become the first European Union member country to open a Chinese university. The government's unusual partnership is with the Shanghai-based Fudan University. The Budapest site is designed to serve about 6,000 students. It is to open by 2024. Fudan is a respected university. Experts consider it among the top 100 universities in the world. Hungarian officials say Fudan's presence will help raise the country's higher education standard and bring in Chinese investment and research. The university also has sworn its loyalty to the ruling Chinese Communist Party. But there is opposition to the plan. Some critics argue the economics. They say the massive government investment would be an unfair hardship for Hungarian taxpayers. Other opponents object to the politics. They note that Fudan has sworn loyalty to the ruling Communist Party. They say a partnership with Fudan shows that Orbán is seeking warmer relations with autocratic governments like Russia and China. They want to bring in a university, which is indeed a serious university on the international level, but its charter requires that it represent the world view of the Chinese Communist Party, said Budapest Mayor Gerge Corocionia. We see very serious national security risks in this investment, he added. In April, an organization of Hungarian reporters got possession of several Hungarian government documents connected to the project. The documents showed that building costs for the university are estimated at $1.8 billion. That is more than Hungary spent on its total education system in 2019. The state plans to pay around 20% of the project from its central budget. The rest will come from a $1.5 billion Chinese bank loan to Hungary. The documents say that all the work will be done by Chinese, not Hungarian, workers, and all the material will be Chinese. The Chinese are doing everything while we're doing only one thing, paying, Korochonia said. Hungary's government follows the economic thinking known as Eastern Opening. It favors increased diplomacy and trade with countries like China, Russia, Turkey, and others in Central Asia. Although it joined the European Union in 2004, the Orbán government often has disputes with other EU members. Peter Krakow is the director of the Budapest-based research company Political Capital. He believes the Fudan project is part of China's efforts to increase soft power, and he said the project could help China's spy operations. Hungary is a popular place for Russian and Chinese spies because the government shows, Krakow said, the lack of willingness of intelligence forces to push back malign foreign influence. Hungary lost a leading university in 2018 when new laws forced Central European University out of the country. Orbán's government targeted the university with new laws, opponents say. Karachonia noted the expelled university and said now they bring in another one, which represents the ideology of the Chinese Communist Party and costs the Hungarian taxpayers billions. The area where the Fudan campus will be built had been planned for a housing and sports complex for 8,000 Hungarian students. The mayor of the area is Krisztina Bariánya. She is opposed to the project and plans to hold a referendum on the subject. I think the referendum is the only way to show that we don't agree with this, she said. I'm Susan Shand.
Thanks, Susan. Now, let's hear from Jonathan Evans.
A Catholic priest is winning new fans in Costa Rica with a COVID-19 song set to the music of salsa. Sergio Valverde is best known for his aid to the poor in the Central American country. For the last few Sundays, Valverde has performed his song with a dance in front of Cristo Rey Church in San Jose. His aim is to get people to wear protective face coverings or masks and continue being careful during the pandemic. Without the mask, there's COVID for you, COVID for me, he sang. The words are set to the music of the song Sopa de Caracol, or Snail Soup in English. The song, performed by Honduran group Banda Blanca, was very popular in 1991. Valverde said he had not even written down the lyrics or words of his version of the song. He said he was putting the words together as he sang. He was surprised to see how popular it became on social media. The Catholic priest said, "The issue of COVID is affecting the entire world. There's pain, there's suffering." He continued, "I, as a priest, see so many people suffering, sick, in pain, people without work, and who are dying of hunger, and I wanted to help a little." Valverde could not have timed it any better. Costa Rica had a record of more than 2,700 new infections in one day recently. The intensive care area of its public hospitals are 95% full. The country has recorded more than 3,200 COVID-19 deaths in total. Valverde is known for his work with children left on the streets and giving food to the poor. He said he is seen more in need than ever before during the economic crisis, which was worsened by the pandemic. Valverde admitted that he has enjoyed the experience. He said, "The whole world is so crazy that they looked for another nut." I'm Jonathan Evans.
Sin la mascarilla, hay COVID pa' ti, hay COVID pa' mí. No te la vaya a quitar. Sube, sube. Sin la mascarilla.
Thanks, Jonathan. Next, John Russell brings us a story from Italy.
The ancient Roman Colosseum is once again going to have a floor. A new high-tech floor at the cost of $22 million. Italy's culture minister Dario Franceschini described the new project this week as extraordinary, meaning extremely good or impressive. Franceschini said the floor will give tourists a clearer idea of how the arena would have looked when gladiators fought to the death there. In ancient Rome, gladiators were people who fought against other people or animals for public entertainment. Archaeologists, experts that deal with past human life and activities, removed the last floor to get a better idea about the area below the arena. The floor was never fully replaced. An Italian engineering company, Milan Ingegneria, won the $22 million contract to design the new floor. The company has agreed to complete the project by 2023. The wooden floor will be made up of hundreds of pieces that can be moved to bring natural light into the underground rooms. These rooms were once used to house the gladiators and animals before their deadly fights. Franceschini said about the new floor, "You will be able to walk on it and go to the center of the Colosseum, seeing it in the same way as visitors used to up to the end of the 19th century. The Colosseum is Italy's most popular tourist draw. Some 7.6 million people visited the arena in 2019 before the coronavirus health crisis." I'm John Russell.
Thanks, John. Now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Mothers have been celebrated around the world since the days of ancient Greeks and Romans. In the United States, Mother's Day became a national holiday after an effort by Anna Jarvis as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. U.S. President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure in 1914 to officially set Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. Americans celebrate mothers by buying them gifts, taking them out for a meal, or surprising them with their favorite treat. Mother's Day cards, either bought or made, are a big part of this special day. Mothers are important in so many ways, too many to count. In some families, the mother is the leader. She is called the matriarch. The importance of mothers can be seen in words like mother tongue. This is the language you speak at home. And your mother country is the country where you were born. Sometimes we also call this the motherland. Then there is Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and Earth Mother. We use these words to describe the beginning and the guiding force of the whole world, humans included. There is even a saying, necessity is the mother of invention. It means that new ways to do things are found or created when there is a strong need for them. In any culture, the worst thing you could do would be to insult someone's mother, especially calling her ugly. That could get you into a fight very quickly. In the U.S., a children's rhyme goes this way. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. It means if you step on a crack, for example, on the sidewalk, it will cause your mother's back to break. Nobody would want that. So children turn this rhyme into a game and jump over cracks on the sidewalk. For this Mother's Day, we will learn another saying that uses the word mother. Diligence is the mother of good luck. First, what does diligence mean? Diligence is careful and continued hard work. So this saying means that hard work produces chances for success, not luck. Let's hear it used in this example.
Did you hear the great news? Sam's book is going to be published this summer.
That is wonderful. He is so lucky.
In his case, diligence is the mother of good luck. He spent 2 years nonstop writing that book.
Oh, I guess luck had little to do with it.
So if someone you know has had success after working diligently, you can use this saying. It's like telling them that their hard work has paid off. For example, if you got a great job using your wonderful English, and a friend says to you, "Wow, you're really lucky," you can say diligence is the mother of good luck. After all, your speaking English has nothing to do with good luck, but rather your hard work. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo. And now, Ashley Thompson and Adam Brock continue our series on national parks in the United States.
Today, on our national parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range. The park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone. But you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to rocky mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike. But the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape from big East Coast cities, today it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year, and it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, "Hey, bear, hey, bears." They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you.
I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Adam Brock.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, Adam. And that is our program for today. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.